You know, that's a beautiful song. At the same time, I wonder if we really understand those two phrases that really end it. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. Amen. You know, if God decided I'm going to take a month-long sabbatical and go somewhere, would you miss him? Would you really miss him? How desperate are you for him? How lost are you without him? I hope that you realize how precious the Lord is. 24/7, 365, and this year 366 days a year. Now, if you want to turn in your scripture to Exodus 14, we'll get there in a little while. Now think back over the years of your life. Now, for some of you, that's a little longer than for some others. Were there times in your life when you were just at the end of the road? You were in such a mess that you thought you were going to never get out. It was a dead end. Was it because you made an ignorant decision? I think back in 50 years ago, if I'd have known then what I know now, there's some things I'd have done differently. Was it a foolish decision that got you in that mess? Was it a sinful decision that got you into that mess? Most of us can look at times in our lives when we were up against it, when we were at a dead end. Now, the fact that we're here means that we did get out. Somehow or another, we escaped, or we wouldn't be here this morning. But that doesn't mean that we are here without some scars. It may have been physical scars. We made a decision, and we still carry the physical pain or scars from the mess we made, the wreck we had, whatever. It may be some financial scars. We made a foolish decision, and we've been behind the eight ball financially for a long time. It may have been a spiritual decision. It may have been something else. You know, it's sad when somebody comes to you and say, "Preacher, Lord told me not to marry him." One of my best friends lives not in Albemarle, but another town in North Carolina. He sat down with me years ago. His first wife was a sweetheart, died with cancer. Second wife, not so much. Not so much. And he said, "I knew better. I knew better." As far as I know, they're still married. He's older than I am. As far as I know, they're still married because he's an honorable man and he won't bail out. But he's bearing the results of a foolish decision. But, you know, there's something strange. Sometimes we end up in a dead end following the Lord. You ever stop to think that you can do everything right? You can be exactly in the will of God and still end up in a dead end. The Bible's full of examples. Hey, the devil does not like it when you try to follow the Lord. Amen. The devil doesn't say, oh, Ed's following the Lord. I better leave him alone. No, the devil says, Ed's following the Lord. I better get after him. And he does the same thing with each of you. And the Bible is full of examples of people who were following the Lord and ended up at a dead end. Now turn with me, as I said, Exodus 14. It's not a walk in the park to follow the Lord, because Satan doesn't like it. Now you remember, Israel were slaves in Egypt. They cried out to the Lord for deliverance. God went to the backside of the desert and picked up Moses. And with great, great signs and wonders, delivered Israel from Egypt. And so that's where you are in chapter 14. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahirotha, or whatever. You pronounce it the way you want to. Between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it ye shall encamp by the sea. Now what did the Lord say? You take Israel and you go camp at this spot. Clear enough? God's given orders. You're out of Egypt. Now the next step is to go and camp at this certain spot. So that's what they did. And guess what? Verse 2. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. Pharaoh's going to wake up and say, oh, look where they camped. They got the Red Sea and a wilderness, and there's no way out, and we're going in the only door. We've got them trapped, and there's no way out. Now they're in a mess. They're in a mess. And you realize how many times the Bible shows some man or woman of God in the same type mess? Abraham has Isaac, that son that's the promised heir that's going to be the continue the line of the nations. And Abraham has got Isaac on an altar about to sacrifice him to God at the word of the Lord. And he has a knife raised, and there's no way out. You think about Joshua. They're there at the Jordan River. And according to the scriptures, they're at flood tide. And God said, go across. You think about Joshua a few weeks later, and they're looking at the giant walls of Jericho. And I've read that they were so thick that on the top they could run chariot races around the top of those walls. Not only that, the soldiers were giants. No way out. You think about David. He's a teenage shepherd boy. And all of a sudden he's facing this guy that's about 9 or 10 feet tall, that's been a warrior for life. And not only that, he's got a armor bearer with him. And there's no way out. You think about Daniel. When they slammed the gate of the lion's den over him. And there's no way out. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they tossed them into the fiery furnace and there's no way out. You think about Elijah sitting beside of a dried up brook and there's no more water because it hadn't rained in 3 years. Or it's heading toward a 3-year drought. You think about the disciples. Jesus said, get in the boat and go over yonder. And suddenly they're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and they're in a storm. And they're sailors. They're fishermen. They know what to do. But they're all their skill and all their training doesn't do them any good. No way out. You think about Paul in the middle of what we would call a hurricane for 2 weeks. You know, usually here, hurricane comes through and we get 2 or 3 days of rain and then it moves on. 2 weeks. And they've thrown everything overboard they can throw overboard and they've done everything they know to do. It looks like they're going to drown and there's no way out. The Bible's full of it. People in the will of God doing exactly the way the Lord wanted them to do, and suddenly they've come to the end of the road, the end of the life, for, looks like for some of them, no way out. Then what? Then what? Well, there's some options. Let's see here. Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in this wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to be should die in this wilderness. Isn't it interesting? Very people have asked God to get them out. Now they're saying, Moses, it's your fault. I know we asked God to get us out, but you did, and now we're mad. Gripe and complain. You ever heard any griping and complaining? No, I doubt it. Sure. Notice also it said they were afraid, sore afraid. You remember on the other occasion when Jesus and the disciples were on the ship and the storm came up and Jesus was asleep? And they woke him up and he said, we're going to die! Fear. We're going to die. We're going to die. One of the responses when we're at the end of the road, when we're up against it, is fear and complaining. And it's so easy to blame other folks. Children of Israel blamed Moses. Adam blamed his wife. Eve blamed the devil. You know, if I'd had better parents, I wouldn't have turned out like I did. If I'd had better kids, I'd have been a better parent. You know, it's so easy to blame folks. I grew up in a bad neighborhood. It's so interesting, the neighborhood I grew up in over in West Albemarle. I had some neighbors that grew up to be bootleggers. But I had some others that grew up to be preachers. It didn't have anything to do with the neighborhood or the schools we went to. It had to do with us, the choices that we make. The choices that we make. We can gripe and complain and blame others. Another option is we can just give up and quit. You remember in 1 John, he says something to the effect, they went out from us because they really weren't of us, and because they really weren't of us, they went out from us. And then there's another place where Paul writes about Demas hath forsaken me because he loves the world. It's easy to just throw up our hands and say, I quit. Following the Lord's not nearly as much fun as I thought it was going to be. Following the Lord's not really what I thought it was going to be. I just quit. Second option, or a third option, stand your ground. Stand your ground. Look what Moses said here in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you. Ye shall hold your peace. Moses just stood his ground. And some of the others that I mentioned, David just stood his ground. I don't care if that guy's 9 feet tall. In fact, David, the scripture says, ran toward him. And of course, Goliath said, what are you, some kind of flea? Little runt? Daniel stood his ground. It's interesting, they passed that law that said you can't pray to any god but the king. Now, Daniel could have said, well, you know, I got to find a way out of that so that they won't know. I'll go pray in the closet and nobody will know. No, that isn't what the scripture says, is it? It says Daniel opened the window so that he was facing toward Jerusalem and prayed so that everybody could look in the window and see him pray. Daniel stood his ground. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood their ground. King says, if you don't worship this idol of me or this image of me that I've set up, I'm going to put you in the fiery furnace. He said, okay, King. Our God's able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will not worship you. We will not worship your image. They just stood their ground. And they threw them in. But they didn't burn. Because suddenly there was a fourth walking around with them. And when they pulled them out, all the ropes that they'd been tied with when they threw them in were gone. They didn't even smell a smoke. Isn't it interesting? They stood their ground. Another thing we need to learn in those situations is to listen to the Lord and let him give us the solution. Let him give us the solution. It's so interesting. Folks, we need to be careful and not try to seek the solution that worked for somebody else or for some other church. We need to seek God's solution for our problem. Now, almost the next verse after the last one I read here in Exodus, God says to Moses, you stretch your rod out. And when Moses did, the Red Sea divided. The wind dried it up so that they weren't walking in mud. And they walked across. And when Israel got across and the Egyptians tried to follow, God says, stretch the rod out. And the sea came back together and drowned the Egyptians. God told Moses to do it with his rod. Isn't it interesting? Joshua would have had that rod when they got to the Jordan River. But Joshua could have stood there and said, till his arm got tired and nothing would have happened. God told Joshua, let the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant step into the river, and when they do, it'll dry up. Now the priest could have stood there and said, we're not going. And Joshua could have done the rod thing, and they'd have still been out there on the other side of the river to this day. But when they did it God's way and the priest stepped into the river dried up. And they went across. Jesus spoke to the storm on Galilee and said, peace, be still, and it was still. Paul didn't try that because that wasn't God's way for Paul. Paul was on that ship, and Paul says, guys, we're going to lose the ship. We're going to lose the whole deal. Swim or grab a board and float into the shore and we're all going to be saved. And they were. You see, it was different every time. And sometimes we get hung up, well, that worked last time. I was listening to an evangelist preach the other week on a CD, and he said he was flying from somewhere to somewhere, and he got on the plane and he was tired and he was sort of resting. And by the time they landed, the guy beside of him said, who are you and what are you doing? He said, well, I'm landing here and I'm going to be speaking to Teen Challenge. That's a Christian group that works with kids that are on drugs and on alcohol. I'm going to be speaking there. He said, well, what's your address? And so the evangelist gave the man his address. He said, about 2 weeks later, he got a check for $1,000 from that guy. He said, you know what? I've flown hundreds of flights. Never got another check. Never got another check from that guy. He sort of makes a joke of it. Says, I kept trying to fly that same route again, see if I could meet him again. No. God does it his way. Each time for his glory. Now you see, we can gripe and we can complain and we can run away, or we can seek the solution of God and stand our ground and watch God work. Watch God at work. Now, think about this real easily. When you're in a dead end from following the Lord, seek God's solution, stand your ground, and begin to thank and praise the Lord because you've got a miracle coming. Every one of these stories end with a miracle. Every one of them. And there's dozens more in the Bible. And the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. What he did for them, he'll do for you and me. It's not easy to be in one of those binds, dead ends. But when you stand your ground and seek the will of the Lord, and then you're obedient, however strange it may seem, stick the rod out, step into the river. However strange it may seem. It's interesting. They walked around Jericho 7 times or 7 days, once a day for 6 days, 7 times the seventh day. But God never did it that way again. They never marched around another city that I remember. They attacked some cities and they attacked some city walls, but never the same way again. Oh, and I almost forgot one of my favorites, Jehoshaphat. Three enemy armies, and they're going to wipe him out. And they're going to wipe Israel out. And they begin to fast and pray and seek the will of God. And guess what? God says, go on out in the morning and send the choir in front of the army. Do what, Lord? Not only poor singers like me would resign, but some of the good singers might want to resign. But when they did it God's way, two of the armies, suddenly enemies, beat up and killed all this one. And then they got mad at one another and they killed each other. And when they got done, it took Israel 3 days to pick up all the goodies and cart it off. And Israel didn't have to kill anybody, didn't have to fight anybody. They just sent the army, the choir out. The army came along behind, and when they came over the hill and the army was singing praises to the Lord, victory's already won, is it? Well, they all dead. Well, hey, look what we got. Look what we got. We seek the will of the Lord. We stand our ground. We begin to praise the Lord because a miracle's on its way. And you may need a miracle this morning for some reason or other. But God's got a miracle for you as you seek Him. He's a good God. He's a good God. And He wants to bless you. And if He did it for them, He'll do it for us. As in the invitation, if there's a decision you need to make, we invite you to come.